In this next article, the authors evaluate the incidence of periodontal disease in adult patients who have erupted third molars. At the end of orthodontic treatment, how often do you recommend the extraction of third molars? Personally, I recommend extraction if the teeth are hopelessly impacted. But if the teeth appear that they'll erupt, I leave the decision up to the general dentist to make that evaluation. But what if the third molars are erupted? Do you recommend that they be kept in a young adult, or should they be extracted? Again, personally, my typical recommendation depends on whether or not the patient can keep these teeth clean. If these teeth have no caries, they don't irritate the patient, and they're in their proper occlusal position, I generally don't recommend extraction. But will these third molars cause future periodontal problems? That question was answered in a study that was published in the November 2002 issue of the Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery. Since we as orthodontists are often asked for our recommendation about the utility of mandibular third molars after orthodontic treatment, I thought you'd be interested in hearing the results of this study. The title of the article is Periodontal Pathology Associated with Asymptomatic Third Molars. This study was co-authored by George Blakey and a long list of participants from the Universities of Kentucky and North Carolina Departments of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery and Department of Periodontics. This was a very large study. It was an epidemiologic analysis of over 300 patients who were enrolled during a 30-month period. Now, to be included in the study, all individuals had to have third molars erupted and second molars present so that the attachment levels between the teeth could be evaluated. The age of the sample ranged from about 15 years up to 45 years of age. During the analysis portion, the pocket depths between the second and third molars and around the third molar were measured. Now, in addition, the gingival index, or bleeding index, was also evaluated. And finally, vertical bite wing radiographs were used to assess the bone levels between the second and third molars in both maxillary and mandibular dental arches. Then these areas were evaluated to determine if there were any areas of periodontal destruction. What did these authors find? Well, the findings are probably a bit different than what you might imagine. In general, when young adult individuals are evaluated for their periodontal health, the incidence of destruction is generally low in this age range. And in fact, in the mouths of these 300-plus individuals, there were no periodontal problems. The gingival indices in most areas were low and the periodontal health was good. But in this sample, 25% of these normal subjects had greater than 5 millimeters of pocket depth around their asymptomatic mandibular third molars. Increased pocket depths were predominantly found in the mandibular and not in the maxillary arch. In these areas, the authors found increased gingival inflammation and also bleeding. This was in spite of the fact that these third molars were generally asymptomatic. So what does this study suggest? Well, we all know it's difficult to predict the future. But a 5-millimeter pocket that retains plaque and bleeds is not a good situation in any individual. If these patients should become susceptible to periodontal disease in the future, these deeper pockets could result in bone loss and thereby affect the periodontal health of the second molar. So the recommendation of these authors is to carefully evaluate erupted third molars, even though they may not be symptomatic. Increased pocket depths could suggest that these teeth may be candidates for extraction rather than preservation in order to enhance the ultimate health of the second molars. If you'd like to review this study, you can find it in the November 2002 issue of the Journal of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery.